Controversy.
Am I already recording?
God damn it.
Oh, man, he doesn't edit these either. You motherfucker. Hey, hi, hello. Welcome to TV Casualty. This is the podcast where I have people come on and talk to me about TV shows that they love that I've never seen before. Today, we have a great guest. She's so funny. She's great. You may have heard her on Two Dope Queens. You may have seen her do stand-up comedy. You are in for a great treat. It's Shalewa Sharp.
Hello.
Hey, hi.
Hi, how are you, Mike?
I'm great. I don't know why I gave you an intro like this was a live stand-up comedy show, but
that's fine. Totally fine.
You know.
Please welcome to the stage.
Coming to the stage. You've seen her at clubs and colleges all over the country.
All across the country.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. That's a good one, especially when they really hit colleges.
Right? Yeah.
I'm like, I've only been to one, and I didn't finish.
Yeah, and I never even went to one, and I've just snuck inside a bunch of them to eat food there,
right.
Which I think is mostly why I've been to colleges. not to perform. Have I performed? I have technically performed stand-up comedy at a college, but not in the way that you should use it as a credit.
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah. There was like, because I started comedy on Long Island, which I suggest to mm-hmm. everyone to do, to really start comedy on Long Island, you know, just to so you know how bad it can be.
Right.
I recently saw a flyer and it said, headliner, Tugboat Manny.
Oh,
so,
the names.
So,
the
names.
Oh, that's so great.
So, you know, I can only think what Tugboat Manny's closer would be.
Oh, there's no telling.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to do some kind of tugboat
arm. Absolutely. I'm sure his fans do it with him.
Oh, God.
That's his catchphrase.
Oh, man, is that his, like, that's his get her done?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
His Shucky Ducky.
You Tugboat whatevs
yeah.
and not do a tugboat thing.
Yeah.
You have to.
That makes some. Why are we trying to be, like, so artistically pure?
And authentic?
I
don't know what you're talking about. My name isn't even Shalewa. I have no idea what you mean.
Yeah, I just mean, fuck, I'm over trying, I think. I'm going to become Mike the Mechanic and do some kind of fucking, wear a Dickies jumpsuit.
Just do that. Just follow your heart.
I'm just, you know, what am I going to keep writing about how sad I am? Come on.
That'll get you so far.
Can your catchphrase be like, vroom, vroom?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you could just tour the whole Midwest.
You really could.
No, I'm gonna fucking sell out horrible B-level clubs with my Tighten Your Nuts t-shirts. Whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, you better get those made immediately.
I mean, I must.
Tighten your nuts.
Yeah. Oh, but anyway, so we started on Long Island, and there was, like, at one of the colleges, they had, like, a stand-up comedy club there, like, of, like, kids doing, like, college kids that wanted to do stand-up comedy, and they would invite comedians that didn't go to the college there. They'd be like, come, you can, like, we have an open mic here, you guys can come and do time, we'll ask you questions sometimes, and we have a show like once a once a semester or something, and they would
book
some of the people and give us like $25, and we're like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
It was fun, but a nightmare. Because the open mic was on a stage, like, basically in one of the kind of cafeteria areas in the college. Like, it was, like, next to a Dunkin' Donuts inside of Stony Brook University.
Right.
The Fightin' Seawolves, or there's something. Their mascot is, like, something, but It's like one of those ones where it's like, oh, this is not a sports school.
Oh, right,
but we still have sports.
You needed an animal.
Yeah, I think their women's lacrosse team or something is good.
Okay,
it's like,
all right.
Well, sure. And that's it. So you're like, all right, it's like a lot of pre-med students and like computer science stuff. You're like, oh, these kids are here to go to college.
Right, yeah, so they don't care about the other part.
No. I lived like a 5-minute walking distance from the University of Albany for a couple of years, and that's where I did most of my sneaking in to eat their
food. Yeah, they're not going to see that.
Nah, they don't care. You would stand at the top of the stairs, and just be like, you'd have to somehow sneak into the building. So you just like run up real quick behind someone else that was already going in.
Right, right.
And then you'd stand at the top of the stairs before you get down to the cafeteria and be like, hey, I lost my card. Can I get one of your lunch, like one of your food swipes?
Right.
And then most of the time people would be like, yeah, we don't care. And then there would just be like a table of like dirty punk kids that obviously did not go to college there, but we all, there was like a broom closet next to the top of the stairs and we would just hide in there then one by one file out and ask.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a real hard.
Someone should make a show about that.
Oh, God. Leif, note the time. But it was great. Always on the last day of school, we would, especially my roommate and I, we would go there with like backpacks full of Tupperware containers.
Oh, jeez, man, just, no shame.
No, not even a little. He would bring home like stacks of like chicken cutlets.
Oh my god.
He's like, I don't know, I got to do it.
Oh man,
he was great. He would also do pull-ups while smoking weed. So he was a real enigma.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he liked to multitask.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I think when you're like 21, you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no doing that now.
I did pull-ups. I think I did 3 pull-ups in my life.
I did not.
Yeah.
Did you? I don't know how long they did the presidential.
Oh yeah. I did that.
And so, you know, boys had to do pull-ups. Women just had to hang, but above the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems crazy.
Oh, I would hang just underneath.
The coach would do is just lift the woman
up
and then count how many times, you know, just count the seconds that they stayed over.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just an instant lift up and I just slowly come down. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even attempt. I'm like, this isn't what I do. Get me to the sit-up section. That's where I shine.
Oh,
I didn't shine anywhere. No. I didn't shine in any of the sections. But I was like, at least my arms don't hurt after sit-ups.
I thought I was so good at the. We have to like lean forward and like push the little metal bar to see how far you could like lean forward while you were sitting.
Oh, that's a new one. I didn't have to do that.
That was one I had to do, and it was like basically like because I was like, I can't touch my toes, but I can do this. And then I would see kids like. Really pushing it far. I was like, come on. Why can't this be like a one-on-one thing?
Yeah.
Where we like learn. Well, you're like, you don't have to see how
anyone
many pull-ups.
Else is doing.
Yeah. I mean,
why are we doing this in front of everybody?
I want most of my life to be hidden.
Yeah.
Like, I would like, there's that place, there's like that new, it's been open for a little while, but there's that ramen place that's like supposed to be really good over in Bushwick, but you can, it's like, they have it in Japan and they just like opened it one up here, but you can like eat basically in like a booth alone.
Ooh.
Where you're like looking at a wall and basically like a little square opens up and someone just hands you your ramen.
Like solitary?
Like, yeah, kind of a little, but the back is open.
Okay.
So it's like eating in one of those like, I feel like we would have them in like the library in school.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So it's like the three.
Do your work.
It's like the three walls around you, and your back is out.
Right.
And
then just food comes from the front.
Yeah. You basically like order your ramen on like a sheet of paper, kind of like at like a dim sum place when you're just like, I want this, and you hand it through the hole. And it's like kind of cool and also kind of a little too like. I mean, I feel like the reference is overused, but a little too like 1984 for me, where they're just like, here's your supplies.
Right.
And you just eat.
Also,
like,
I wonder what's the decoration on the flip side of that, like on the kitchen side.
Oh, I bet it doesn't look great on there. What if it was really ornate
on
that side?
Or if it's just like just this guy's in it, like how they label the section, if it's just like.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? This dick. The dick. All right.
Yeah,
and
here
I'm in the dick booth. And you're like, thank you. You have no idea what they're saying about what you could be on the other side.
Yeah.
I always think of it from the service side.
Oh,
I would never have enough money to eat there.
No.
But I probably would work.
No, I feel like this place is probably like, I think it's pretty affordable.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, if you don't have like to deal with anyone.
Yeah. I feel like, and it's like a place where they like, it's like in that kind of weird industrial part of Bushwick where they're like, it's kind of gentrified, but also it's still a lot of tractor trailers around there.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
It's kind of like.
Like instead of, there are a lot of train tracks.
Yes.
But there are no hobos.
Yes,
but there
yes.
are still young people using bindles.
Yes. There's a lot of.
And I'm like, why? That's an Hermes scarf, though.
Yeah. On like a nice imported piece of bamboo.
Right, yeah. So it's like, what? How did you get a fancy bindle? But yeah. So I know. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, I feel like there's some stuff that just shouldn't come back. like bindles should not be a fashion item.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Well, I don't know. No, it shouldn't. I got enough reason to judge people. I don't need to judge them on their bindles, too.
I just saw someone on my way here. I stopped at the coffee shop to get a little snack for myself. And I did see someone in there. I'm going to hope, ironically, but wearing JNCOs.
Probably. Probably not. Irony's dead, so they mean it now.
Is irony dead? God damn.
I don't know. They started saying irony is dead around the time that it was on and popping, which actually is the time of this show.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone was just like, yeah, irony's dead now. And I'm like, no, I don't know if you're out here in the street.
Yeah, yeah.
With all of us and our jeans dragging 3 feet behind us.
Yeah.
But we don't mean this.
Yeah. It was like a guy who was like full, like probably, you know, mid to late 20s, like full Hot Topic goth.
Oh, wow.
Like that look is coming back and it's brutal.
Yeah.
For like adults to wear and like a funny.
Good. I'm glad it's back. I'm glad it's back. And actually, in many parts of the country, it did not go away.
Yeah. I think the way that these people were wearing it is more of like a, isn't it funny that we're wearing this? And not in a, like, I can't wait to go smoke cigarettes at the teen goth club
exactly.
Tonight.
Yeah, yeah. In small towns, yo, there are still straps aplenty.
Oh, for
sure. On everybody's pair of pants.
Yeah.
So many straps.
And with those people, I'm like, It's a weird thing where you're like, okay. I see them and I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah,
good for
you.
Yeah,
good
exactly.
Good for you, man. Do it. I know nobody else where you are is doing it. Yeah. So keep doing it. Even if we've outgrown it, please keep rocking it so that others know.
I did a show once at this, I've been there twice, I think, this bar in Des Moines, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a music club, but they do stand-up shows there and whatever. And there they have a shrine to the deceased bass player of Slipknot.
Come on.
I mean, where else but Des Moines, Iowa, where they're from. But just to walk in there, because I went there in like 2015, and he was still with us,
right.
And you know, there was just like a spot. It was just like a random spot on the wall. And then you walk in 2016, and it's like a
that's beautiful.
It's like a roadside ghost bike type situation in there. Where
just
like,
washed out stuffed animals.
Yeah. Just like a lot of like metal ball necklaces instead of rosaries.
Oh man,
that would be the new metal roadside memorial is both horrifyingly sad and deeply funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Aw. Well,
but it was a nice thing where you're like, hey, I don't care about Slipknot, but you're like, this
someone
is,
does.
Someone does. I'm sure they have really affected the music scene in Des Moines, Iowa.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, yeah, good
because
for you.
Because I'm sure the towns around it, they are still absolutely rocking it like it never went away.
And yeah, it's a great little bar where it was named after a dog with three legs who is just still there.
Oh,
just a dog with three legs just hanging around in the bar sometimes.
What's the name? What's
it's called Lefties.
Oh.
Of course. Because I think he's missing his right leg.
So he just, he favors the left, of course.
It's actually a really, Des Moines, Iowa has a like shockingly fun comedy scene.
I believe it.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where you're like, the first time I went there, I was like, I don't know how this is going to be. And then I went there, I was like, oh no, this is fun.
Yeah, it's fun because nobody cares about what happens.
Exactly.
So I find that's the case in a lot of other cities, other markets, where no one has an eye on you.
Yeah.
Nobody cares, so everyone is just doing the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
And getting to be as funny as possible because they don't have to worry about industry or someone else getting ahead or someone else getting that thing or anything like that. I mean, yeah, sure. All right. So another guy started another night. I mean, just catch him at the Kroger, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Just battle it out that way in the parking lot of like a, you know, a,
yeah.
Any kind of a BP gas station
yeah.
or something, but
what do
they
have there? Hy-V.
Oh, is
I think
that
is
the,
is
okay.
like a, is like a, that's like a grocery store chain. There.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
But
yeah.
But they have like, they're like in like the Kroger Publix kind of world where they have like a bunch of stuff that is like their brand that people really like.
Hey, man. I like a good store brand.
Oh.
Kroger has a kettle chip.
Okay.
That is sea salt and balsamic vinegar.
Oh.
And you can't find it anywhere else. in the country.
Other than Kroger?
Other than Kroger. And so when I realized that, I was like, well, maybe I'll just move back to Atlanta. I'll just do that. And then I was in Los Angeles for a month and went to Ralph's grocery store.
Yeah.
And then I'm in there and I'm looking at the tags and I'm like, these tags look like Kroger tags. Wait a minute. And I pulled out my Kroger Plus card and looked on the back, and it had all of the Kroger and Kroger-affiliated grocery stores. Ralph's was one of them. And when I realized that, I ran to the chip aisle where I found sea salt and balsamic vinegar.
So LA, so you can move to L.A.
I can move to L.A.
Yeah, so, not for any kind
not
of
for
career.
Any business. Yeah, no, no. Now it's there's a fast track
it's
now.
It's a chip-based move.
Yes, which, like, let me get there where I know I have a chip waiting on me.
That was like I had a – this always sounds fake, but I did date a woman who lived in Canada. It always sounds fake.
All right.
It always sounds fake.
All right.
It is. I made it up. But when I went up there, I met her. We met on the internet, obviously. But the first time I was in Canada was like a couple months before I met her, and I found out about the beauty of all dressed potato chips.
What is that?
So it's basically like all dressed is basically like. It's almost like the everything bagel of potato chips.
Or like,
it's like
a loaded baked potato?
Kind of. It's okay. Like all the flavors. The best way to describe it is kind of like a salt and vinegar barbecue.
Oh, God.
So it's like a
all
lot.
Right.
It's a lot.
All right, so like a North Carolina barbecue. Okay.
Kind of. Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Sure.
So it's good. And it's usually like a rippled
Yeah, you're
chip.
Going to need ridges
yeah.
for all of that flavor.
For the flavor that's to stick.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I had it, I was like, well, I could probably just... It's probably pretty easy to become a Canadian citizen. It's probably pretty. And I would just like go and visit her and I'd be like, hey, it's great to see you. I love you. Whatever. What's up with the chip situation? And then up there they have this. Oh, God. What's it called? It's called Superstore. Is like their one of their big like grocery store chains.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a hot dog flavored chip also.
All right.
I feel like I've seen that around. Yeah,
but.
Which is great. And now all of these are kind of floating to America. And now I'm like the guy that's like, well, I had those a decade ago in Canada.
Yeah, you're the fucking indie hot dog chip guy.
Yeah. It's the only thing I can be snobby about. Everything else, I'm like, yeah, everyone else knows more. But I'm the chip. I have never stopped spouting my love for 7-Eleven brand hot Italian sausage potato chips.
Oh, wow.
They really taste like a sausage and pepper sandwich.
That's impressive.
It's crazy. It has all the flavors. It has the sausage, you get the onion and the green pepper.
Right.
It's wild.
Man, I mean, you never know where. Every once in a while, I feel like once a year, for a minute, Pringles would release some sort of weird limited flavor. And they usually nailed them when they were like, now some of them I think have even become commonplace. But before, like, when they started doing like a bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is that different from it? Oh, no, it is.
It is.
Different.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I don't know. I see. And, you know, like all this stuff. And then one year, and this is where it all fell apart, they partnered with like Outback Steakhouse to have like a blooming onion flavor.
Yeah.
And then like, they were all literal appetizer-based flavors. And I was like, well, I could just go to that place. I mean, I can't, but I could.
Yeah.
So, like, why wouldn't I? And then they started making sweet ones. And
the
I was
sweet,
like, you are out of your lane. I won't even try them. And I eat sugar out of a bag.
Yeah.
But I won't try cinnamon sugar Pringles because I know how it's going to feel in my hand and the canister. And I've put it in my mouth. My mouth is like, we're getting sour cream. What is this?
Yeah.
And it's not going to be – I won't be happy.
That's like, I do like the cinnamon sugar pita chips, but I think that's a different animal.
Yeah,
I think a little because I have such a long history with Pringles.
Yes,
where I'm
exactly.
Like,
a pita chip is new to me generally.
Yeah,
so, yeah. If you
want
to put sugar on it, I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, and they're fine.
Yeah, I saw some last night and almost got them, but I just went with some other plain old chip and then like a whole box of Little Debbie snack cakes.
Oh, of
so
course.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
That was That was when I was a kid. That was like underneath the. We had like all this different cabinets because my house was because like the lady who owned the house before us, she like added our house was pretty small and she added on a kitchen before we bought it.
All right,
but the cabinet setup was like there was too many and not enough at the same time, where there were like a bunch that were like way above the refrigerator,
right, that
so you
can
couldn't
never
put
use.
Anything
Why
there.
Why did they do that?
Yeah, there that's like where we kept like extra Tupperware containers.
Right,
you know,
it's
like,
yeah.
So there was like enough, but they were able to like under, there was like all the stuff underneath the sink. But then there was like a hard 90-degree angle, and then next to that one was where all like the snack cakes and everything
oh, sure.
underneath were.
Uh-huh.
And just like opening it up and just being like, which little Debbie
hmm.
is, I don't, am I in a Star Crunch mood, or am I in like a, or we would get some Drake's cakes in there
oh,
too.
Oh, okay,
of course.
Sure.
So am I a yodel guy? And
right,
how am I
right.
feeling today? Am I in a ring ding mood?
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
That was just.
Wow, you guys were rich with it. We had oatmeal cream pies, and that was it.
Ooh.
My mother would leave out one for me and one for my sister. And then one day I ate both of them. And when my sister said, "Where's mine?" I said, "Oh, mommy must have forgotten you."
Oh, no.
which I don't remember, but my sister reminds me all the time
yeah.
that I did this. And I mean, it. It checks out.
Yeah. That was, we were, because my, it was me, it was my sister and I, so there was always like at least two different flavors.
Oh, okay.
Of cakes. But that was, it was whatever was on sale that week,
mm-hmm.
two of them.
Right, because
it was
yeah.
always whatever, two for however many
Oh,
bucks.
Sure,
and my mom
sure.
was like, well, all right, I'll get the Star Crunch and I'll get the other thing. And then it was always just like, once I got to about 10 or 11, I was like, well, I could also eat four of them right
yeah.
now. And then,
man,
you, know,
you remember get... making that leap from like a little kid sized meal to like a medium kid sized
yeah,
meal.
I
distinctly remember asking my dad, like, "Hey, can I get like two cheeseburgers?"
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, let's do that then."
Yeah, yeah. I remember like, because we had like the your standard like childhood about 8 or 9 interchangeable dinner meals.
Okay.
And that was about it.
Right.
My mom is like, my dad is actually a pretty good cook, but just didn't cook
mm-hmm.
for a while because he was like, I worked
right.
all day,
sure.
so I'm not going to cook. And my mom's like a fine cook.
Right.
But it was never, like, I think our biggest foray into like wild foods was our, the big Abruzzi couscous phase.
Ooh,
of the early
the
to mid 90s. we had a real hard couscous phase, and it was fine. You know, that was our grain of choice for a while. But, you know, there was like our, we had like, you know, pasta and whatever for, because, you know. You have to, when you're Italian, you have
yes,
to
right.
you have to have your
that.
Weekly amount of pasta.
Right.
And then there was like stuffed peppers. That was a big thing too.
Okay. All right.
And then there was, you know, whatever, meatloaf, taco. I remember taco night though.
Oh.
That was where I first remember being like, I would like more tacos, please. Oh, I already had two, but I would like at least one and possibly two more.
Right.
And then that being like, oh,
you
can eat more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's, it's, actually, maybe it's kind of sad that we can remember when we were allowed to eat more.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it
is. Because I feel like that was a very important turning point in my life, and it probably should have been another thing as a turning point.
Yeah, yeah, I probably should have been like, oh, no, this is where I'm retaining information that I'm learning.
Right,
and you're
yeah,
like,
and it's
no,
like, no, I can eat more?
Yeah. I can have a hot dog. And a hamburger.
Right, exactly.
This is the greatest day
yeah,
of my life.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
This
mark this down.
Yeah.
Absolutely mark this down.
I feel like that's a ghost that's followed me yeah. until this day.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, you can have more.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I've only maybe, I think it also is a money thing, but only in the last couple of years have become a guy that sometimes orders an appetizer.
Yo, that is definitely a money thing.
Yeah.
That is definitely where I was like, oh, I can have food before the
food? Yeah, this is great.
What? All right. Well, I guess that's why I get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was for sure. Anytime someone's like, oh, are you looking at an appetizer? I'm like, no, who looks at appetizers?
Yeah.
I only have this much.
Yeah, yeah. I got entree
therefore,
money.
Yeah, and that's
and
it.
That's it.
That is it. And a glass of water, please. Keep them coming.
Yeah, yeah. Please. There's this like really good sit down Chinese spot I found recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that new, but it's like, but they serve everything family style.
Okay.
So you kind of just have to order for the table, and
right.
that is like a thing where I'm just like, oh, no.
No, what a nightmare.
I know, because I'm like, I don't know, 9 of everything or just one thing? I don't know.
Right.
What are we doing here? I guess I'm like, who wants green beans? And everyone's like, we don't care. Like, no one else has the problem, but I'm like, I need to know what everyone wants.
Right, yeah, so I know what to, what are you getting? What are you getting?
Yeah,
what are you
yeah.
getting? You become that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
God, you never want to become. I mean, that's what I have become for sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's pretty brutal. I guess we need to talk about television eventually.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, but, TV.
Okay. So we are here. I mean, if you're listening to this episode, you already know what we're talking about. I don't know why I have to do this fucking big reveal every week. But it's fun. It's fun for me. That's why I do it. But we are here today to talk about my so-called life.
And I am shocked that it wasn't picked, but then I also remembered that I am an old lady.
Yeah. But I know, because, I mean, I'm 29.
Right.
And my sister is... So I'm 29. My sister is 33.
Okay.
And this was like a big thing.
Sure,
for
absolutely.
My sister also.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's like in within the age, like the age range of all the people that I have had on the show. I think it's like a thing that definitely could have been big for like everyone.
Yeah, I feel like. Well, I mean, I know there it was rerun on MTV for a while.
Yeah.
So if you missed it, like the first go round, which everybody did but me,
yeah.
You could watch. You could watch the reruns because that's where I, in realizing it would not return, that's where I taped them off of MTV every day, set my VCR.
Yeah.
So I then had, you know, an extended play videotape that had all, what, like 13 episodes or something on it. And I just kind of wore that out until the DVD box set came out.
And then the... So, because I watched it, it's on Hulu.
Right,
and I watched the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, like memories of the show being on in my house, but it was one of those things where I was like, oh, this show's on. All right. And then I would just, like, keep walking by.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But is it one of those ones, because this has happened a lot with, like, DVD re-releases, where there was a bunch of music in it, like current pop music or like
that
rock music.
May have kept it from being released for a while.
So like say like with Daria.
Yes.
That
right.
was that took for that took a while for it to come out on DVD because they didn't clear the music and then when they did it was all like
stock, they just had to,
bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is and that happened with a bunch of MTV stuff like cuz I guess cuz they had the license
well,
to
that,
do it then.
It wasn't I don't
because
think
it was an ABC.
It was an ABC show.
Yeah.
So honestly, there would have only been like a few, like maybe a song or two per episode.
Yeah.
But they would have gotten the okay because part, you know, I mean, like there's a lot of Buffalo Tom.
Yeah.
And I feel like they weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, nah, you go on and let that go. Because I mean, like not even just like Buffalo Tom was played a lot. I mean, like they were in the episode. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
And so it was a big... So, yeah, I can't see where that would be an issue.
Yeah. I mean, I guess because I watched it on Hulu, and at the end, there's a very... We also do not care about spoilers on the show.
Oh, okay.
So we can,
yeah.
we're going to talk about
Man,
the whole thing.
Man, if you hadn't watched My So-Called Life, and you're like, wait, don't tell me. You don't really want to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's been literally, like, 23
years
or something.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
You just,
you've had
it's
the,
not for you.
You've had the time. It's like, listen, I get to talk about the ending of The Godfather.
Yeah,
it's like, there's a window.
Yeah, so
like,
maybe, you can't be mad if you're like, what?
I'm not going to give any big plot points of, like, Lady Bird away on the podcast. But I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll talk, you know, hey, guess what? She gets pregnant in Juno. Guess what?
Right,
guess what?
Exactly.
Figure that out yourself.
Yeah.
But
so.
At the end of the episode, there's like an emotional moment. And then, of course, Everybody Hurts by REM starts playing. And you're like, this is too on the nose.
Now it is.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was, oh, boom. There it is. Like, it was the first time. And like, so, okay. So the show started... Well, like 94 or something
let's see.
Like that?
August 25th, 1994.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, where is Shalewa in her life?
Yeah, where are you?
All right.
August 25th, 1994.
94. Okay. I'm 22. Just turned 22.
Yeah.
Still at home with the folks.
Mm-hmm.
I got a disabled mother and a pops who's working, I guess.
Yeah, that seems to be most people's dad. You're like a dad who I guess was at work.
I assume he was at work because then he came home. I don't know.
You're like, he didn't leave, but he wasn't really there.
Yeah. So let's see, 22, I guess. My sister would have been in college, so she would have been in Athens, Georgia.
Home of REM.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I had REM on my sneakers when I was like 13, and I'm not even entirely sure why.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I saw a video, and I'm like, that's a catchy song. And then you ask for sneakers, and your mom brings you Off-White Chuck Taylors, and you're like, well, all right, sure.
Yeah.
I guess I can draw on them or something. Yeah. And so, like, the first thing I do is I carefully letter REM on it. And she's like, who's that? And I'm like, it's some band. And she's like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
And whatever. And
that's, like, the kind of best you can hope for with a parent who isn't, like, no, but isn't
She used to be really no. Okay. She was very, like, very worried because I was, like, I started to like too many white things.
Okay.
So like there was a Rick Springfield background and she was like, I don't like this. And then there was a Culture Club moment, Cyndi Lauper moment, and she was like, all right, fine. And then there was a Van Halen moment with David Lee Roth and she was like, I don't know what to
that,
do with that.
Yeah. That is concerning for I think any parent.
Anyone. And we're talking like 1984. Hardcore, and she's just like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
And then there was a Duran Duran phase which was prolonged and she was like, I don't like this either.
Oh, that one is a little shocking to me.
No, I mean they're still white dudes though.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah.
I like to put posters up. So I'd get a poster of Duran Duran, and then she'd counter with a poster of Donna Summer. And I'm like, no, that's not – I have no problem with Donna Summer, but I don't
– I don't poster like
I don't, yeah.
Donna Summer.
I don't need to rep her like that.
Yeah.
And so then I'd get a poster of Depeche Mode, and then she'd counter with a poster of Prince. And I'm like, all right, we're getting closer.
Yeah, okay. You're like,
this one will go up for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then meanwhile, my sister's wall was just Michael Jackson all the time.
Yeah.
So it was easy for her. Just give her a Michael Jackson thing, you're fine.
Yeah. Every couple of years, you get just the new album cover poster.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever tiger or lion he's posing with, big cat he's posing with, you just put it on the wall.
Which should have been a warning sign.
Maybe. but, like, so there was just a back and forth, and then at some point, she just got tired and gave up.
Okay.
And so she didn't care at all. She just called all of it no singing white boys.
Okay.
You always listen to these no singing white boys. And that was for everyone, no matter who it was. With an exception for Wham featuring George Michael. She was like, that's fine.
That guy can sing.
And he's all right.
Yeah.
She could understand what he was doing with his voice.
Okay.
Whereas, what is Simon Le Bon? Who, Depeche? What? I don't get any of this. And then she only switched that for the band Living Color when she said, all right, those are no singing black boys. And I said, look at this progress.
Look,
we can do this too.
Yeah.
So by the time of REM or whatever, she was just like, I don't know, you're just writing stuff on your sneakers. I don't really care. What's funny is after her stroke, she became a lot more open-minded to things, my mom did. So we're sitting around and I'm watching some documentary about REM on PBS and she's watching it with me and she's like, okay. And I'm like, you know, I used to like, these guys are from Athens. And she's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, cool.
All right. You know, it's not sticking with, she's just like, whatever, it's what's on TV right now. And then about a year later, they were on tour. I think it was their Monster tour. And someone I worked with had an extra ticket and was like, hey, do you want to go? And I said, yeah, I think I do. I don't know. Let me get back to you tomorrow. And I'm just kind of going through it and talking it out. And my mother was like, you should go because, you know, you've been talking about them for a while and we watched that thing once. Now, half of the time she called me my sister's name.
Yeah.
And she couldn't remember what she had for lunch. And then she'd remember something from like the 50s.
Yeah.
So it was like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she had called me my sister's name and then said, yeah, you like REM. You've always liked them. And then went back to like Lonnie. And I'm like, that's your husband. And you know, like, so I was like, all right, well, if she snapped out of it long enough to remember that I liked it, I probably should go.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I was like, yeah, and Luscious Jackson opened. And she's like, yeah, and we're done.
We're done.
We're done. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I got nothing.
So, but, you know, like at the time of this show, like they were hitting all of the. So, you know, I'm older than the kids on the show.
Yeah.
But just young enough to clearly remember being in high school.
Yeah. That's that. kind of, that's the cool thing about like high school stuff where it's like,
yeah,
it is usually for children or but, like kids that are going through it, but right, there's an age gap where you're like, it's the two different age gaps where it's like, oh, I remember this happening to me recently, mm-hmm. and then you switch to, I remember that period in my life.
Right, exactly, thing. And yeah, like, and okay. Then, you know, if it's around long enough, you can be like, you know, those parents had a point.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I am now with the show. Yeah. But yeah, so I would watch it when it came on. It was appointment television for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, okay.
And I watched it pretty much every week. I think I watched each one every week from yeah. the first one. And it was up against Friends.
Ooh.
So
but
like,
that's, but that's a good. That's,
but that was like the first season of Friends too, and I was mm-hmm. like, well, I don't know which one to watch because I like Matthew Perry. That's who I knew of everyone on Friends.
That's the first time I've ever heard that sentence.
Yeah, no one's ever said that. But I really liked, and I liked him so much that at the time he was going by Matthew L. Perry. So that's oh. how I was like, oh, Matthew L. Perry has a new show.
What was he doing pre-Friends?
I don't know. I have a thing and always have. Well, no, early on I liked Blonde. So okay. John Schneider. Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ricky Schroeder, Silver Spoons. But yeah. then Jason Bateman came on Silver Spoons, and I'm like, okay, now Blonde or Brunette, what am I doing?
Yeah.
There are lots of pages in my diaries of me working this out.
Blonde versus Brunette.
Yeah, which where do I go?
Yeah.
Went with Brunette, which to me was kind of like going black. Yeah. And so then from then on, it was just straight Brunette. So I paid attention to any dark-haired white dude on a television show.
Okay, yeah.
So I was big on Jason Bateman. I was big on Matthew Perry for some reason.
Yeah.
When Stand By Me came out, I saw that in the theaters a million times.
Yeah.
Mostly for River Phoenix.
I mean, yeah. Because
he was a beautiful boy.
Yeah.
But I wrote to Will Wheaton. He wrote back.
He seems like a right back kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah, he was a kid.
Yeah,
he didn't have to do that. He wrote back though. I probably had a shot. I should have shot my
you
shot.
You could, yeah.
I probably could have. I
could
have hit that.
You could be Mrs. Shalewa Wheaton by
yeah.
now.
Oh boy, yikes. yeah. So just anyone with dark hair, Glenn Scarpelli, and I trust me, nobody knows who that is, but.
What is he on? That name is wildly familiar, but maybe...
He was on One Day at a Time.
Okay.
Like, you know, when everyone's old enough and they bring in a younger person?
Yeah.
So he was like the younger kid okay. that they brought in because the two daughters were old and leaving, so they had to bring someone in.
That's like one of those names where it's like...
It's a funny name.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Glenn Scarpelli was one. John P. Navin. I don't know why they all used, names. Michael J. Fox. I was on all of them.
Yeah.
I loved all of them. But yeah, so I was like, well, I'll come around. I'll probably just like flip. And then I watched, My So-Called Life. I think actually an ex-boyfriend was like, you should watch My So-Called Life. Like, I feel like that's you. And I'm like, all right. Yeah. And so I watched like from the second episode on, it was like, oh, you right. It's yeah. me. It's me. And so I was like, whatever, friends, who knew it would be a cult. So then yeah. when my son, and I always do this when I was in seventh grade, I put all of my eggs in the Cyndi Lauper basket. Meanwhile, Madonna, to the moon. So I can't bet correctly.
Yeah.
Now, of course, then they end up being crazy, and I'm like, see, if you had just stayed here with me.
You would have been fine. Yeah, exactly.
No one would have been bothering you.
Yeah.
But, then after My So-Called Life ended, I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go ahead and start watching Friends now and see what all the hubbub is about. They're on every magazine cover at this point. And y'all forgot about my girl Angela Chase, but that's all right.
We're in the future now, though.
Yeah.
Claire Danes did pretty all right for herself.
Yeah, she's doing
now.
Fine.
Everyone else on the show.
Matthew Perry? Hot mess.
Oh, God. Have you seen any of his recent drunken late night show interviews?
No, I have not.
His head is holding about 3 gallons of booze.
Oh, my gosh. If someone were just a pricket with a pig, that's just it. He'd be done.
He has that big... John Travolta, Alec Baldwin head now.
That total swollen head. Yeah. Yo, speaking of Alec Baldwin, young Alec Baldwin, I like to look at pictures of young Alec Baldwin because that is a handsome young man.
Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice is
maybe one of the most attractive people.
Yeah, and
ever.
Beetlejuice, when he was in, what was the, there's something called Miami Blues, maybe is what it's called. I don't know. But he, there's entirely too much hair on him, and he's maybe too virile. Like, I feel like I might have been pregnant just watching it.
Yeah, yeah, his beard is his stubble is thick.
Good Lord, it's so much. It's too much, man.
Yeah.
And I would have let him fuck up my credit. You know what I'm, like, that's how much
I'm like,
young Alec Baldwin. Now he's just like an old dude. I have to look closely to remember why anyone would. And even now people are like, yeah, I mean, he's hot. He's a hot older dude. I was like, I don't know. Do you see young version of him?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm willing to cling to the past on that one.
I'm trying to think who's made the opposite. Who's done the opposite where they were like fine young, but
well,
then older is where they've
looked better?
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of a hack, but McConaughey, I think, is hotter
now
than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I still think Brad Pitt was entirely too pretty.
Okay.
With all of that hair and them cheekbones.
And now he's
kind of
filled out like a man?
He's filled out like a man. Actually, it took him, he needed to get smacked in the face.
Okay.
So after Fight Club, I was like, okay, now we're talking, rough him up, I need to see blood.
Okay,
because he's too pretty, and I didn't think he'd be able to take it. Everything was just like long, naturally blonde hair on a dude is scary.
Yeah, you can't trust it.
I don't believe it.
That's always the person not to trust in the horror movie.
Yeah.
Is the blonde guy with, like, long hair.
Long hair, like, and even his eyelashes and eyebrows. You're spooky to me.
Yeah.
You're super spooky.
You're too see-through.
Everything,
there's no substance to your head.
Yeah, you seem translucent.
Yeah.
So he was just, like, ethereal, and that's not what I want in a dude.
Okay.
That's why I didn't go with the blondes.
Yeah.
So then when he got smacked around a bit and his hair got, and he chopped all his hair off and it got darker, and now he's thick, a little thicker and sadder.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we can work with this.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
But George Clooney was always cute, and then he just became handsome.
Yeah, I'm not traditionally attracted to men.
Sure.
But, you know, I can recognize a very handsome.
Sure.
I've never gotten the George Clooney thing.
Oh.
I've never understood. Even as a little kid, I'm like, sexiest man alive.
He's charming.
He's very charming.
He's super charming, and he knows how to work. I mean, like.
He looks great in a suit, I'll tell you
he
that.
He looks great in a suit. That's very important to me. I don't want half-naked dudes. I want dudes in completely covered.
Yeah.
Scarves to, like, spats.
If you can get, like, a nice trench over
the suit. Yeah, if you can put a turtleneck over your trench, that is ultimately what I would like. I don't want to see any skin at all. George Clooney had an ill-advised Caesar haircut.
For so long. He had the haircut du jour of Puerto Rican teenagers.
Yeah, and still, like, people were like, but he's cute though. So I was like, that's power because that is not a good look on him.
Yeah, that's a period piece haircut.
Yeah, it really is. that really is. Yeah. That white dudes should not have been doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was always like a rough look.
Because
I grew up, it was like, so the town I grew up in was like the epicenter of Caesar haircuts.
Okay.
Because it was, you know, white guys in the 90s
who like
George Clooney, who want to look like that, and white guys in the 90s that want to be Puerto Rican.
Okay.
So it was like because I grew up, it was like pretty much like 30%, like everything, it was like 30% black, 30% white, 30% Hispanic, and then everything else was just kind of. So it was like intermingling of all of those things. And
right,
just So, and it was just like white guys with like thin chin strap beards.
I love them. That's how I know I have a chance.
Yeah.
God bless a white dude with a chin strap.
Yeah. Or the ice pick sideburns.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I see a white dude with a Caesar haircut and a chin, I'm like,
yeah.
Not only do I have a shot, I'm going to have this dude following me. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember working with a dude who had just that whole thing, and he was giving me a ride home from work. Or to a train station or something. And we were friendly when there was no, like, anything. Because I was just like, chin strap, dude, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, like, my kryptonite. And then we get in the car and he starts playing Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. And I laugh for the entire ride. Because there's no way. I can't. Are you serious?
Yeah,
and he's like, what's so funny? And he really thought And I'm like, yo, man, I don't know what these late night commercials are telling you. But, like, not only is that not necessarily the way to woo a black woman, you pick the wrong black woman.
Yeah,
like, I am
yeah.
totally not that one. So, you know, bless his heart. He tried.
He did. Yeah.
He really did try. Yeah. But I was like, come on, let's get it on.
Yeah. Those guys are always the guys that hang on a little bit too long to the fashion trends, too.
Yes.
So, like, those guys are, like, just now not wearing peli-peli jackets anymore.
Oh, yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
good,
very
good
recent.
For them.
Yeah, yeah. And
good
like,
for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still haven't figured out that sweatpants are now tight again.
Ooh, that's going to be rough for them.
Yeah, because they're still in the, like, baggy
right.
South Pole cargo sweatpants.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a
Oh, okay. So one of my
look.
Favorite things about this show
yeah.
is, like an actual teenager, Angela Chase's sartorial decisions are horrible.
Yes.
Because that's how teenagers look. Like, especially in that time, we were talking hardcore flannel.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had, like, a favorite flannel shirt and a favorite, like, cartoon character shirt. And when she had to go somewhere special, that's what she put on.
Yeah.
Like, so there's one episode where, like, her mother is having a lot of people over to the house that she works with. And Angela comes down and she's wearing her special outfit, and it is just like dirty flannel and his t-shirt. And
yeah.
her mother's like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "This is my favorite outfit." And I'm like, "Yo, preach. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I absolutely." And it was like the most, because I mean, like, even outside of Darlene on Roseanne.
Okay.
Actually, Roseanne in general, because that show is almost too real. It's so real.
It's yeah.
It's one of the best.
It's brutal realism.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, sometimes you're like, you can't watch too many in a row.
Yikes!
Yeah,
not
yeah.
a marathon, just
yeah,
two.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do an hour. But yeah. So like, it was just like, oh yeah, this is what she's not being all snappy like a teen just comes through and says something snappy and the audience laughs and then she walks out the front door. Like, she barely spoke.
Yeah.
She barely.
Yeah.
Everything was just like her tucking her hair behind her ear and just going, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's what it's like.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what
so,
it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how many times I ever got the upper hand in a conversation with my parents.
Never. Never. As long as someone can backhand you, you probably
yeah.
are not going to win.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
probably not going to win.
I mean, I feel like there was. On my so-called life, there was never any threat of that.
Yeah.
But still, they were like, well, I guess it's my parents.
So. Right, yeah, yeah. And then, like, the coloring her hair was important to me because at that time I was coloring my hair with black cherry Kool-Aid.
Okay, yeah.
I wasn't lightening at first. It was just a rinse. And then I moved on to, like, manic panic stuff. So then I moved to, like, a burgundy. And then I went straight Grover Blue. And then I rocked that for a while.
Okay.
So I was, like, in the throes of it while she was in the throes
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, you guys were both on a,
yeah,
a
we
hair
were
journey.
Both
together.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So,
Yeah, high school is where you make your most brutal hair decisions.
I couldn't. I was not allowed.
Not allowed?
No,
oh.
because it wasn't necessarily, I mean, like, I was still, I mean, like, they were still using, like, eggs and shit to make mohawks.
Yeah,
like, you
okay,
know, in
yeah,
my
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
In my day.
Yeah.
So, like, there was none of that. And then also my mother paid. I was getting my hair straightened. So I was using, like, a relaxer to straighten my hair. My mother was paying for that. And there is no way she's going to let me get anything outside of whatever she paid for. The most punk I could be about my hair is I didn't curl it.
Yeah, okay. So
and
just
now
let it be
I just
straight.
Let it be straight, yeah. which meant it didn't hang straight like a pretty, like, straight white people, definitely straight. It was more of like a frizzy kind of, but it was still as straight as I could get it. And she was just like, you don't want to curl it a little bit?
And
I'm
nah.
like, no, I'm good. I'll bump the edges, like the bottom maybe, but I'm not, like, nothing ornate because I sleep crazy. I'm not going to tie my hair up and then sleep, like, with my head propped up and all that shit.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. But, yeah, so there's a whole – so I got, like, a lot of shit from other black girls just like, girl, why don't you do your hair? And I'm like, what? It's straight. What the fuck else do you want?
Yeah, yeah. What else
why do I have to – and it's an all-day thing in a hair salon.
Yeah, that's – it's such commitment. That's,
yeah. So, like, once I got out of school, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to color it. let me just use Kool-Aid first. Yeah. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, I had to, like, ease into it. So, yeah, that was, like, the most punk I could be was in high school was I wore all black. Well, first I wore all brown because I could wear gold with brown.
Yeah.
And I didn't have my braces yet, and I knew braces were coming. And so when I got braces, I knew I was going to have to wear silver to match the braces, and then I'd have to wear all black with that. Yeah. So let me get all the brown and gold out first. Yes.
Yeah. That makes, yeah.
Why am I thinking that way?
I don't know.
I'm 14. It, doesn't, yeah. it shouldn't matter.
Yeah. And imagine someone's like, oh, man, your necklace does not match your
right,
braces.
Exactly. Who's looking that deep? Yeah. Oh, no one cares. They all had braces. Yeah. I don't know why anyone would care. And then also I was on drill team, so that was crazy because for most of the week I'm dressed in all black, and then one day out of the week I have to wear school colors and sequins carry a flag, and they're like, "What? I thought you were."
And you're like,
"But I like dancing."
Yeah, you can be. That was like in high school. That's like one of the things where you're like, "Yeah, you can just lead two lives." Where
yeah,
like
you can do both of those things.
Yeah, like in high school, I was in like really bad hardcore bands and went to hardcore shows, and then also I was in two different choirs
right
in
yeah,
high school. And you're like, you can just do it, you just you
yeah,
know, you
and
just
everyone's like, yeah, no, that's what he does.
Yeah I don't know, he sings sometimes.
Yeah,
and
no,
we think he's gay, probably because of his
pants.
She
hates everybody, and she's also in orchestra.
Yeah.
And has been for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah you're like, mm-hmm. All right, cool.
I don't know, it's what I do.
Yeah That's just one of those things where they're like, now it's almost like you're like, oh, I have this interest because, and there's like this whole backstory, and then you're just like, I don't know, just do it because I do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no plan or reason. You're like, why do you sing? It's like, I don't know, someone told me I can sing pretty all right. And
so
then,
I was like, I guess I'll keep doing it.
Yeah. So if I do this, I don't have to take French anymore. So I'll just do that. They're like, because I usually in my school district, like, you start language in eighth grade. But okay. I was in like honors classes, whatever, and that really panned out well for me.
I hear you.
But I started in seventh, so I took like 2 years of French already.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, they were like, well, you can keep taking French or just take a bunch more music classes. And I was like, see you later, French class.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And first of all, I was like, why the fuck did I even choose French?
I chose it too,
yeah.
Because I can't roll my R's.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, well, I mean, like, what's the use of learning Spanish? I can't roll my R's, so I'm not going to be able to say it right. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cindy Lauper versus Madonna.
I'm going to go
with the wrong choice.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I
French
know,
class is the Cindy Lauper of
basically,
of languages.
Yeah. Now I think that's a safe bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've got the last lap. I am dating a dude who's Haitian.
So
when I eavesdrop on his conversations with his mother, I understand 1/8 of what he's saying.
I get some of it.
Yeah.
Which
so,
is nice.
Yeah, it feels better than being completely lost when I'm in a store. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening here at all.
Nah, I got it. Yeah, I was just like, I think I took Spanish because it was just like everyone. I mean, I took French because everyone I knew was taking Spanish, and I was like, "Well,
yeah, right, exactly."
I'm different.
That being that wanting to be contrary thing, and that's
it's such a waste of time.
It's real stupid.
I mean, I could have at least like had a rudimentary knowledge of Spanish by now, which is would have made my life so much easier so many different times.
Right. Sure.
I'm like, okay, I've been to French Canada 3 times and I can kind of read the menus.
Right.
Somewhere.
Well, then, I believe that's why you had to have Canadian girlfriends.
Yeah. But it didn't even, she spoke in the English speaking part of Canada anyway.
See, then that's silly.
And I was in Montreal once. I was waiting for the wonderful Greyhound bus from Montreal to Albany, New York.
Okay.
I mean, a beautiful ride. And just so beautiful. And I was there alone in the Montreal Greyhound station. I mean, just another,
oh no, I'm sure gorgeous,
another beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I got the most delicious meal you can get, which is a fruit salad and a Coca-Cola.
Okay. All right.
Like, I guess because like even then, this was probably 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing where it was like, even then it was like, well, I don't eat meat, so I can eat this fruit salad or a napkin.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. So I got the fruit salad and the Coke, and the woman just started talking to me in French because it was Montreal. And
right.
I was just like, credit. just like, yeah, and credit. And then she was like, and then she just dropped everything. She just went, do you want a fork? And I was just like, yes. Yes, I do. She like completely lost her French accent. Everything.
Right.
And I was just like, oh man, I'm the moron here. This sucks. Just like, yeah, I love a fork.
Oh, geez.
Which is great. So, you know, that's what my French
Okay, that's what
has gotten me.
All right, well, that's good.
Just embarrassed still.
Well, yeah,
which is
sure,
nice.
Sure.
But yeah, this the watching the show was fun because it's like I've had a few. This is like kind of another part of this big chunk of like teen dramas.
Oh yeah,
I've been watching. I guess I've had a real teen drama run recently.
Oh yeah,
we've done Pretty Little Liars.
Okay,
and Riverdale.
Oh wow,
with Sexy Archie.
Oh, sure. I haven't. I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
Normally, I do, but every once in a while. Lately, they've been adding, like, these weird twists and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
someone's always dying. I'm like, I don't need anyone to die. It's hard enough. I never watched Buffy because I was like, I don't need an allegory for her.
Yeah.
High school's tough enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now
like,
you also
why
have to fight
you, now you
got to
fight. Yeah. Like, I'm like, why don't you just tell the story of a black person going through high school around white people. It's probably going to be a lot like Buffy.
It's probably going to
be a whole lot like Buffy. I don't need vampires. Yeah. I grew up in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Like, I think I know, I probably know her struggle.
I probably know it. Yeah, yeah.
That said, the OC is my shit.
Okay.
I almost did, but I was like, I'm going to leave that because some people probably have a different, but man, I love the OC as well. But it's to say, I just like teenagers going through stupid shit.
Yeah. This one is the most grounded.
Yeah.
This one is very, it's not Sexy Archie with murder.
No, yeah, no, it's like
Liars.
Actual.
Yeah, yeah, this was like, but the thing that is on all these shows is that everyone so deeply feels all of their emotions.
Okay, so that
100%.
That is because the woman who came up with this show also did 30 something.
Okay.
And so I watched 30 something as a teen, which I don't know if you should do that. It comes on at 10 for a reason.
Yeah.
But it came on right after Moonlighting, which was my shit also. Lots of grown, just a lot of grown people going through shit is what I seem to like watching on television. And so that also was very just like, oh, I can't believe it. It's just therapy. It's just like literal conversations of therapy being acted out, kind of. And so everyone just is so, and that's just like the stuff that this woman, Winifred something, I can't remember her last name, but that's like the kind of, her style is for everyone to just be like, whoa. And that's also why it was so weird that it was out, because like I said, irony was huge.
Yeah.
Everyone was just like, so what? And then not believing the man. A lot of the 90s was just a lot of not believing everyone was trying to get something over on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so this show was so earnest. That is just like, geez.
Yeah,
you
it was.
Guys.
Sometimes it was a, like there was a, towards the end of the episode, there was like a big confrontation between, and that's Angela, that's
yeah,
Angela, and then her old best friend.
Oh yes,
they had
right.
like a huge blowout in the in the girls' bathroom, and her friend is like, I just think that you should hear what everyone's saying about you. I'm like, I've never had a conversation. I've never had a friendship like this in my entire life.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Female friendships can be weird.
Yeah, I feel like male friendship is always like, from your like best friend to your acquaintance,
right,
is like a very small scale of like, I think that I am emotionally open with them fairly similarly,
right?
Like there's so okay, if like my best friend and I get into an argument, it's usually never like some big emotional deal,
right?
It's
right.
like, and it's but then there's like always like little things where you're like, okay, you see me fresh from a breakup.
Right.
So you see that, and then everyone else sees you a day or two later.
Yeah.
Where
you're
already processing stuff, but your best friend sees you like
right after. So
yeah, right after.
He's still like saying,
So there's
it's especially with that, there's like betrayal because usually when you're young, your friendships are based on proximity.
Yeah.
So then there's just like that. And, if you're young and fanciful, they're going to last forever.
Yes, of course.
And then you both like start to develop your own ideas about stuff, but they're inevitably one of you is still willing to be like, okay, so we don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff, but you know, I mean, like I've known you since we were three.
Yeah.
And then the other one's like, yeah, I'm going to try these other things. And it's just, I mean, like, honestly, on Freaks and Geeks, it was kind of the same thing, too, where she wanted to stop being a nerd. Just that wanting to be something else.
Yeah.
Is like, for some people, it's like, yeah, I get it. And some people are like, why? We're having the best time. And it's like, no, this isn't.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, my life is not to be a mathlete.
Right, yeah. Whatever. And yeah. So sometimes it's just like, so yeah, that I've come across, I've had like those kinds of discussions before.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's like, it is weird and deep. And you don't even understand why you're crying and writing pages and pages in your diary.
Yeah.
Especially when you go back and look like 10 years later, you're like, wow, yeah, no, it's not that.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. But it feels like it at the moment because no one else understands you.
Yeah.
And you're stepping out on faith and hoping that this new person can.
Yeah.
And I've done that for sure. Like, hero worship of a best friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like that, I really related to, like, the girl that Angela decides is going to be her new best friend, Rayanne. I've had a couple of Rayannes in my life where I'm like, this is who I'm following. That's absolutely who. And then they end up not being all that great, but I've thrown all my support behind you. I left that one behind because I thought you were going to be. So that I've done that a few times.
Yeah.
And so, like, I totally, that's also a thing that I was just like, don't do it, girl.
Yeah, yeah.
That girl's a mess.
I've definitely had a few of those. I don't think to the degree of how much of a mess Rayanne,
she ends up being a mess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at Apple, you turn and find out the apple doesn't fall far on that one.
Yeah,
and then, it's, you know, it's always a thing.
I saw a guy who, when I was in high school, was like my Rayanne,
I guess.
Yeah. Like 2 days ago on the street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. He's
because he wasn't
messed up.
Right.
But he was just like, we were like really good friends. I would say we were like best friends for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was one of those things where it was just like a slow fade.
Yes.
Like we called each other a little bit less.
Right.
And then it was no one's fault.
Right.
And it was no big blowout. We just kind of, I think it was a thing where it was like we both ended up like getting girlfriends and
mm-hmm.
hanging out with other people and stuff like that. And then it's a weird thing where you never stop. We were never like, we're not friends anymore. But
right,
then we didn't speak for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
and then now with like, you know, social media, you're just like, oh, we follow each other on Instagram now. And I see what your life is like. And you see what my life is like. And
we're good.
Yeah, yeah. So and I saw him and it was like nice. And then I was like, all right, I'm working. So I got to go. And it was nice seeing you. And then it was like he has a wife. So his wife showed up and they're like, oh, we're going to get some food. I was like, well, have a great meal, and I'll see you later. And it was just, like, very nice.
Yeah.
But it was a thing where it was like, man, we used to spend every day together.
Right, right, right.
Because he lived in a different town than me, which used to be, like, that was the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah, right. How do you even?
Yeah, but he had a car.
Oh,
so he would
go.
Come and pick me up. And I think our biggest difference was that his family had, like, a pretty good amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then my family was, like, fine.
Right.
But it was, like, enough of a distance where I, like, noticed it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, interesting. like he used to come pick me up in a Jeep, and then one day he picked me up in an Audi.
Okay.
And I was like, okay,
oh.
I still do not have a car. But he would come
and
pick me up.
Too.
Yeah. And we would, like, skip school together. And,
right.
like, we used to go, and he would just, like, pick me up, and then we'd go get McDonald's breakfast
okay.
together. And then you're just like, all right, and then now you have a wife, and all right, see you later.
Yeah.
I'm going to go walk a dog.
I've got a friend, a girl I've known since 7th grade, messaged me on Facebook, and she's like, well, all right, so this dude I'm seeing, he proposed. And I said, yes, so I'm going to get married, I guess. And I'm like, all right. And, I mean, we were tight. We were tight.
Yeah.
And she was like, so will you come to the wedding? I'm like, yeah, just tell me when and where, and I'll be there. So I haven't heard yet.
But yes.
I will go. And I know I will show up, and I'm going to enter this world where only maybe her mother and older brother know I am a person who exists.
Okay.
Like,
oh,
I know,
this,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, who is this? Oh, this is someone I've known since we were 12. And like, how come you never mention her? I don't know. I guess I just know she's not in. We're not in each other's lives.
Yeah.
But we've made enough of an imprint on each other where it's like, hey, will you come to this thing? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I will. Like,
yeah.
No,
I just had that. I just went to a wedding for, it was a girl I've known since I was like, I think I met her when I was like 14.
Right.
And but then me, her, and another girl, we ended up becoming like a kind of three best friends.
Right.
Our
yeah.
crew. And then we ended up we were roommates. All three of us were roommates mm-hmm. for 2 years.
Okay.
So it was a thing, and it was like her and her boyfriend started dating when we first all moved in together. So like 10 years ago.
Oh wow.
And then they just got married. 2 months ago.
Okay.
So, but it was a thing where it was like I was back in the world of like these few people I knew when I was in high school.
Right.
And it was like their friends. So it was like I knew maybe 4 or 5 of like the people. My friend, the girl who got married, I mm-hmm. knew her and her brother and her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. I've never met, like, I knew her boyfriend because they were
right.
dating while we were living together and we're all friends now. But I'd never met his family,
right?
Because
yeah.
I wasn't dating him, so it was like his whole side of the family, and then most of her family, and then I was just kind of there, just being like, "Hi,
yeah,
like, hello, good to see you."
It's gonna be such a weird thing. Like I did that once. My 1 year of college, I became friends with this girl, and we stayed in touch, and then she got married, and she was like, "I want you to come to the wedding." I'm like, "All right." This is a couple of years after maybe our year together. And then I didn't get the invitation, and she was like, "All right, I feel like maybe my mom didn't send it to you.
Yeah.
Here's where, just come to Florence, South Carolina, and go to the big yellow church."
A much different Florence than I thought she was going to spring on you.
No, I knew that. I was like, "All right, this one I can drive to." Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I went to Florence, South Carolina, and I was going to go to the big yellow church, and I realized, okay, the only people I will know will be her. Maybe a couple of people from college might be there, and her parents, who I met once or twice.
Yeah.
And I was in the I was right, like, this was blue hair time.
Oh,
so
yes,
I was
yes,
definitely
yes.
already. So, and maybe I might have been the only black person there. It would not surprise me if I was. And also, I show up with blue hair, so it's just like, blah.
Yeah.
I could see when her mother saw me, she was just like, "I really thought I had." Swore I thought this wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's a nice enough girl, but I did not want her at this wedding. How did she find out where it was? So here's the thing. When I got to Florence, South Carolina, I was like, "All right, I have to go to a big yellow church." That's all she said. Go to the big yellow church. So I pull in at a gas station, and I go inside, and there's, you know, the guy behind the counter.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, I am trying to get to a wedding that's at the big yellow church." And he said, "The black one or the white one?" And I went, "The white one." And he said, "Okay." And he gave me directions, and that was the one.
That was the one?
That was the one. I was like, "That's right, the South."
Yeah.
I loved it. I was like,
"Yeah,
well,
it's not even like a judgment thing."
Yeah,
it's
no,
just
he was
like,
just
those
like,
are the facts.
Yeah, it's like, "Well, which the one? The white one? Yeah. Black one or the white one?" And I was like, "I'm going to go with the white one, I bet." Because I already established it was yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, "All right, you go this," and blah, blah, blah. And I pull in, and I'm like, "Well, I'll be damned."
you
that
know,
was fantastic.
Yeah. It's like, did he say it with the most care?
No, but
what,
did I need it? No, I didn't.
But I got there.
Yeah, I got
so
there.
So that's really,
yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, so it was like just a weird situation where, you know, you're there's a receiving line, you're like, "Hi, it's nice to meet you. You just married my friend." And people, he's like, "How do you know each other?" And you know, "I live in Atlanta." "Oh, you live in Atlanta? Okay. Oh,
yeah.
How and why?" You know,
yeah,
like that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I know there's a picture. There's got to be a picture
of you,
of
blue
me
hair.
And her, yeah, just with her and her like, yeah. So it's just like those kinds of weird things that happen as you get older, and you're just like, "I don't know, we're connected enough."
Yeah.
But it's okay if we fade.
Yeah. It's been a nice thing where, like, I have surrounded myself with, you know, in the nicest way to say it, pieces of shit.
Okay.
My entire life.
Sure.
So I have been to very few friend weddings.
Oh,
And I
have,
think it's very nice.
Yeah,
mine's been very nice,
like,
and great.
All right, so I'm mid-40s.
Yeah.
And I have... The only time I was in a wedding was when I was a kid for, like, my cousins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I've managed to avoid many, many of my friends. If they've gotten married, we were already out of touch or whatever. But for the most part, my close friends are not. They're either just like, "We don't need to." I mean, that's just for the courts, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's the taxes. We don't need
yeah,
to. And, like, we just – I haven't had to be in someone's wedding.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, I really picked smart.
Yeah, I think
with his friends, like, they know.
Yeah, all of the friend weddings I've been to, I have never been like in the wedding party, which has been a great. My buddy Ed, who I've known for a long, because it was like the thing where it's like he played in bands when we were in high school together. So it was like we've known each other since like 10th grade or something like that. But it was always like we've always been like pretty good friends. But I'm not wedding party friend type,
sure,
which is great. And even his. He had a bachelor party, and since we've gotten older, we've been closer, but it was a thing where he's like, he's from Long Island like me, and he was the thing where he's like, literally, he doesn't drink, and he's like, what we did is we went to Peter Luger Steakhouse,
okay,
and then we went home. So he's like, I didn't even invite you,
right?
Because one, it's a steakhouse, and two, it's a $100 a person steakhouse. And he's like, you don't eat meat, and you don't have any money. I thought the nicest thing I could do was not invite you to the bachelor party, actually, and I was like, that's one of the nicest things.
That's very sweet.
It was very nice. And then we almost ruined his wedding, which was great.
Okay,
I showed up late, and
how late?
I was okay. So. So, oh God.
Like in the middle of the...
Like during the service late.
Okay.
But it was at this like, I guess just like a hall.
Okay.
Because I wanted to call it a country club, but it wasn't a country club. But it was like one of those places where it's like, it's just made for weddings and parties and stuff like that. And it was a nice place. It was a little far out on Long Island. And my buddies and I like set it all up in my head. I was like, all right, Nick, it was me, my buddies... Nick and Tom and I all going together, like, because we're like the three single guys going together.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, Nick is always late, so Tom is driving.
Good.
And of course, Tom was late.
Oh, boy.
And Nick was on time. So we get there late, and we're like, it's like in the woods, and we're like, the service of like the GPS is cutting in and out. So we get there, and we're like, all right, we like show up, and there's a valet, and they're like, all right, the service hasn't started yet. Go around this way and go in this door and you'll be fine. So we go around this hallway and this lady's like, all right, right in this way. And I make them go in first because they're all like 8 inches taller than me. So like, you guys will be the focal point. So we get in there and we walk through the door and then we realize we are standing directly in front of the groomsmen. And there's still people. So Ed is out there and there's about two or three groomsmen out there. So the procession is still happening.
Oh my God.
So luckily... our friend Julie, who is the bride, is not
out
yet.
All right, okay.
So she wasn't out yet, but then we just are standing in front of the groomsmen and then just freeze. We're just like, what? And then we just have to decide, are we going to go across more and down the middle aisle that people are coming up?
Do
we go to the left and then have to squeeze in between the wall? And so we do the squeezing between the wall, but and I'm the smallest guy at... you know, I like to say 5'11", but most people know that's not true. And over 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Tom is a full-blown professional wrestler.
Okay,
about
so that's going to be an issue. 6'4",
6'5", heavyweight.
Right. Sure.
And then Nick is a tall, gangly, string bean man at like
6'3". Oh my God, you guys are like a kid's meal
cartoon. Yeah, exactly. And if we just had to have like one black girl and then a guy in a wheelchair. And
that's all you'd need.
We would have been the whole crew. but so then we were trying to squeeze between like the family members that are in their seats and the wall, and there's not enough. And we're just like... oh, God. The only saving grace was that Julie was not
out. That's good.
And then we didn't totally
ruin
her wedding.
Yeah, that was...
and then so the rest of the night we were... that was... that I haven't been to that many friend weddings, and that was the second one I was late to.
Wow.
Because the first one I was late to was my old roommate, and it was in New Hampshire, and there's two roads with the same name, and we went to the wrong one.
Well, of course.
And then we show up... and the ceremony is just on the deck at his parents' house, and we missed the entire ceremony.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we missed the ceremony and then got to hang out at the party where I ended up falling asleep in a chair.
Okay, well, that's
so
not bad.
Pretty fun.
How long you were stressed out?
So it was pretty great. I don't know what any of this has to do with television.
No,
but,
nothing,
you know,
nothing at all.
But yeah, I don't know. This show was... it was one of, like, in the comparison of all the other teen dramas I've watched recently, very much the most realistic one. And the most watchable one, I think.
Oh, wow.
Where it was like, I could watch another episode of this.
Yeah.
Where the other ones are so far, like, on a different planet. Where you're like, right, this was like, this was really fun to watch for one episode to
right.
be like, I can't believe this exists.
Yeah.
And then now you're like, all right, this one is pretty all right.
Yeah.
This one was like,
I wonder what happens with.
Yeah. Exactly. It was fun to have, like, the storyline of the mom being like, what's up with your friend Ricky? He's weird. Like, she didn't want to say
gay. Yeah, that goes throughout the shows, too. And that's very interesting to watch as well. Because, you know, he hangs out in the girls' room with him. And I was like, even at the time, and I'm 22 at the time, and I'm like, ooh, y'all being risky?
Yeah.
You just going to go in the girls' room with him? Yeah. I don't know. I knew gay dudes, and they just went ahead and went in the boys' room. I don't know about all of this.
I
was like a grandma about it.
Maybe it's because I didn't have that many. Like, most of my friends in high school went to different schools.
Okay.
And then all my friends, but the friends that I had in my town were 2 years older than me. So then by the time I was a sophomore, they were like gone.
Right.
So I didn't do much hanging out in the bathroom in general.
No, I don't remember doing much either. I feel like I may have just held it for most of the day.
I can't remember. I can remember maybe 8 times I ever went to the bathroom in school.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I'll pee when I
feel like maybe
I
come, but for the most part, I was like, oh, I just won't drink water.
Yeah.
I'm just chronically dehydrated. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. High school, I mean, now is also not great, but high school is not my most hydrated time.
Yeah,
I don't
for
think.
Sure. For sure. Yeah, no, I don't, I just don't remember like just being in there. And I didn't smoke, and I didn't have any problems with anything or anybody. Yeah. I was just like, I'd rather not.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll just see you guys in the hallway, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll see you after
we'll
school
that.
When we hang out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't need to see you in the bathroom. That's a.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I'm in here. I'm not happy to be in here.
Yeah.
And neither should you.
Yeah. Let's just go away.
Yeah.
Go
we can
away.
Just cut class and go outside if you want
to
hang out.
I think I'd just go to class. And, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't pay attention.
No. I wasn't a cut class guy. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I was cutting, I was leaving
the whole
and not coming back.
Sure, yeah.
Or I'd go in until they took attendance, and then I'd be like,
oh, right, sure.
See you later.
Yeah.
Because for some reason in my high school, all of a sudden they were like, we take attendance in second period now.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, there was that, like, okay. Where we used to go to homeroom, but then they were like, okay, you only go to homeroom once a week.
Yeah.
Instead, they're just going to take attendance in second period.
Yeah, and you're like, okay.
Why are we – what? Then why is the?
Then why do we have first period?
What are we doing? Like, who? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to get some food then.
Yeah. Oh God, I had so many times in my life. I like got off of if I actually got to school.
Yeah.
On time, and I was there. I just walked off the school bus and then immediately turned and walked away and went to the bagel store. I was just like, well, I don't seem to be needing any.
My bus was
tonight.
Like super early, so I would get there like 45 minutes before classes started.
Yeah.
I'd be there at 7:15.
Jeez, yeah.
And school would start at 8:05 or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, look, I already did a bid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to, I don't need English.
Yeah. I already speak it. I'm good.
I totally got it.
Yeah.
So I just would maybe go get food and then come back.
Yeah.
By homeroom or whatever.
Yeah. I'll just figure it out.
As long as no one's calling my parents, we're good.
Oh, yeah.
That's all we have to avoid.
I had the great pleasure of, because my parents got divorced when I was like 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this great thing where my dad, not a great, you know, this great thing where my dad moved out.
Right,
but
yeah.
But it's the thing where my dad moved out, and so it was me and my mom and my sister. And then eventually my mom was like, I cannot afford this house.
Okay.
So then my mom moved out, and dad moved back in.
Oh.
So it was like a real switch. So my dad moved back in probably like 10th or 11th grade.
Okay.
And then by then, so my dad worked in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked 6 to 2.
All right.
6 in the morning until 2 p.m. So he would leave the house at latest 5 a.m.
Right.
So he missed the whole getting me to school thing and the whole me coming back from school. So even if they called to be like, your son was gone, I would just be home. I would already be home.
Right.
Because I had never left. Or I would have left and then come back. And I was just like, yeah, well, I don't know. I was there. And you can't. And then they'd get my report card or whatever. And they'd be like, well, this seems to be a lot of absences on this one. I'm like, hey, what are you going to do? One time I remember I had this chemistry teacher who was just – he was over it. He was done.
Mm-hmm.
He was this older guy from New Jersey, and he had just like given up on caring. He would just like yell at us and then tell us stories about New Jersey because it was like a – it was a chemistry class, but you didn't have to take any of the state tests
okay.
afterwards. So it was just like me in 10th grade trying to get my like last science credit and a bunch of seniors who just had it. Had to take it to graduate.
Right, right.
So it was a bunch of people who were, you know, not trying that hard.
Right, yeah.
Where he would, like, turn around and then people would, like, throw, like, beakers at the blackboard.
Oh, my God.
And they would explode. And then he would just turn around and be like, you missed. which was pretty fun. But I remember I got, like, one quarter, I had, like, 28 absences, which I think is most of
them.
That's
a lot.
Yeah. And
that's
then he was
lot.
Just like, pleasure to have in class. Like, I'm just fucking giving up already. But this was a thing where I was like, I did not have a high school like this.
Right.
So that's one of those things where I was like, I don't, you know, like, you relate to some of it, but it was also some of it. I was like, how come no one's fighting in the
right,
hallway
yeah.
all the time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it's definitely a... idolized I've been coming off of a lot of John Hughes movies, was like, well, at least I got a brown dude in here.
Better
than what I'd been paying money to see. They seem to have like real problems and not how am I going to get the rich boy to like me, which up until now I was like, that's a real problem, getting the rich boy to like. It's like, no, Shalewa, there's no one rich around you. Good point.
You have to go a couple towns over find them, I guess.
You're not that's not where you are. Like, that's fair. But so I don't know. I really I just really dug it. It started my what I already loved anyway about teen shows, but I just thought it really did it.
Yeah.
Like best and cat and how they fit in whatever is happening at the time. And like there's one episode where the episode is them dealing with Kurt Cobain.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's in there because it was,
That was a big thing.
And it happened around, it was like that year or something. So it was just like.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's so. I'm going to have to.
Yeah, you'll have
find,
to. Yeah, that's but like, it's like in there where you're just like, that's.
That's when you have to like look at all the late 90s, early 2000s sitcoms and be like, okay. Where's the 9/11 episode?
Yeah, right.
We
exactly.
have to find it.
Yeah,
we have to find the 9/11 episode. And
yeah, they don't. They totally had it, and it wasn't like it never felt like a very special episode. But I just remember when that came up, I was like, "Oh wow, really? Yeah. We're gonna okay? I guess we're gonna talk about this."
It would be great if it was one of those very special episodes where the what you learn at the end there is like, well, if you are a rock star who is addicted to heroin, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
What's the lesson to learn here?
I don't know. I'm sure there was just like and then Julianna Hatfield was on one too. Like it was super 90s.
Yeah, they like dug in.
It was super 90s. But I now will only watch it if I'm in a really, really bad mood.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's like if I'm like at my worst and I'm like, I got to just put something on. That's the one that I put on.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I'm going to, at least I guess I'm equally as miserable, if not more so than these.
Yeah.
These pitiful kids.
I do need to blame the creators of the show for making Jared Leto a part of my life.
Yeah, he's the reason. It's hard. Like, everyone talks shit about Jared Leto, and I get it, and I get it, and I get it. But, man, he was Jordan Catalano, and it's real hard to...
Yeah.
When you hold the show and that much, it's just like, But the show is also the reason why there are so many Tino jokes, because there was a character named Tino that they mention in every episode who was the singer of Jordan's band, but you never saw him.
Okay.
And they just, and not even in like a jokey way. They're just like, oh no, Tino's going to meet us at blah, blah, blah. And then, oh man, Tino was late getting like he's just,
that's like,
you know, there's just that dude who everyone knows, but no one ever can find him.
It's like Kramer's, like this friend that it's never, Bob Sacamano.
Yeah.
That's always mentioned, but
or
never
like,
shown.
Or like on Cheers, like Norm's wife, Vera.
Yeah.
You know, exactly, like that kind of thing.
So I think you can draw a straight line from my so-called life to why 30 Seconds to Mars exists.
Yeah, you can, and
that's
sorry about that.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess, no, it's, I don't want to say it's worth it.
No,
to have it. But it's like, I mean, we already brought up Fight Club once, but there is almost no scene more satisfying than watching Jared Leto get his face.
Yeah, it's
just
nice.
Demolished.
It's nice.
In Fight Club.
It's and nice. If only for those cornrows. It's nice. Oh, no, wait. Or were the cornrows in the other one?
No, that was in the other one.
In Panic Room?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he should have just gotten punched on GP for that.
Yeah. Blonde, yeah, no. Cornrows. Fight Club was the, like, bleach blonde
yes.
the kind
right.
of flat
yeah,
top
yeah.
almost.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, I guess we got to see him get beat up, and that's
yeah,
fun.
And that's,
so I
that's
guess it's almost
good.
Worth it that he exists.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
He's got to be our sacrificial
yeah.
lamb.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the only, yeah, him and Claire Danes are like the ones who wrote the phoenixes who,
right?
who rose from the ashes.
Yeah,
of,
yeah, basically.
Because Rayanne,
she's a princess now, or a duchess, or
is
something.
She?
Yeah,
whoa,
she married some dude okay. who grew up in a castle, and that's where she's been.
That's sick. That so she doesn't have to do anything.
No,
ever
she's
again.
Not. She hasn't done shit in
good.
Years.
Yeah,
she's
but,
just like yo,
but on some
I'm
like
royalty.
I'm out.
Yeah,
thing. Okay,
yeah,
yeah.
So that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
which is much nicer than what I thought it was.
Than like, oh, I just don't act anymore.
Yeah, yeah. you know, I'm just a mom now.
Yeah,
I think
right.
when you're like okay.
My so-called life is my family.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, God. My second so-called
right.
life. Or memoir. And you're like, oh, God.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's brutal. Oh, man. This was great.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to add about My So-Called Life?
No,
I think you kind of covered it all.
Yeah, y'all just watch it.
Yeah.
I
it's
mean,
on Hulu now.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's, yeah, just
yeah.
do it.
Cool. Do you want to plug anything?
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Wait, when is this gonna?
I think this week, this coming week.
Oh, all right.
Because I don't think we have any. Yeah. Well, either way, I just said it, so now that's
now
what's gonna
that's,
happen.
That's
yeah,
what's gonna
yeah,
happen.
Yeah.
January 14th at Union Hall, a show I co-produce with Courtney Farrington called Thug Passion Presents.
Okay.
Where we do a table read of classic black movies.
Yes.
That's when our next one will be. And
is it a secret what
no,
movie
no,
will
I'll
be?
Tell you.
Okay.
The movie will be the movie selection is Belly.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So
because you guys did Set It Off.
We did Set It Off. We did Baby Boy.
Yes.
And New Jack City.
Okay, yeah.
So
this is a great continuation
yeah,
of the,
yeah.
of the
also,
series.
Also, it falls on Martin Luther King Day Eve.
Oh, so you go out?
Yeah.
you go to Thug Passion Presents?
Yeah.
And then
know.
The next day you're very reverent.
Yes, exactly.
yeah,
it's exactly how I'm okay with it. It's pretty much the blackest thing we could have done. It's
that's
pretty black.
Yeah, so I highly suggest getting tickets for that.
Yeah, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that'll be great. Cool. You can follow me at Micah Brucey on all social media, brainmachinenetwork.com for all the other podcasts that producer Leif. We still have producer Leif. Producer Steve Albini is still gone. we've had producer Steve Albini in here for a couple weeks.
Right,
you know.
Sure.
But so producer Leif, he's great. He was very silent this episode, which thank God. And cool, that's it. Yeah, you can send us an email, I guess, whatever. Who cares? Bye. Mwah, mwah, bye.